listeners and viewers, welcome to Magic the Amateuring. My name is Ben. I am a host of yours. Joining me on my left, your right, is the counterpoint to my baseline,
Megan.
And joining you on my right, your left, it's the contralto to my baritone.
I'm a first soprano, Ben.
Bullshit.
Do you hear that laugh?
Your voice is deeper than mine.
I'm Maria. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Magic the Amateuring.
And I'm the counterpoint to Maria's contralto.
Nice.
And you're the contralto to my counterpoint.
Okay. You guys, I'm a first soprano. I take a lot of pride. I don't know if you've ever met a soprano before. But
Jesus. But, I wish I hadn't.
This is a show about Magic the Gathering for new players. Also, old players returning to the game, contrary to what you might think based on that opening segment.
It might also be a show for you if you're just like, I want to listen to a Magic podcast where people are ridiculous. We give you plenty of being ridiculous.
I'm the ridic, and Ben's the ulus.
Come be the fourth wheel of our three-legged bicycle.
Wait, if we're ridiculous and you're ridic and Ben is ulus, what am I?
I'm r, Ben's dick, and you're ulus. Yep.
Like Ulysses S. Grant.
Right.
I won the Civil War.
Good job.
Thank you.
That was a hard war.
You guys, I know that wasn't his name. I just want everybody to know.
Okay. Megan's reputation is really important.
Yes. Mm. It's something I take pride in, knowing the names of really major historical figures.
This podcast started just about a year ago when Ben taught Megan and I to play Magic. So we've been playing for just about a year. Guys, do you know what episode number this is?
It's number 50.
That's right. That's a milestone.
It's the bronze anniversary.
It's we're over the hill.
It's the gold.
I feel like if you make 50, you gotta get something
gold,
good.
Right?
50 is gold.
Okay. And we're really excited.
But it's our first anniversary, so it's like the paper.
50
it's
years.
It's like the paper anniversary.
Yeah, yeah. 50 episodes. I said 50 years.
50 years!
If you listen to this podcast approaching the speed of light, then yeah, it'll be like 50 years.
Okay, great. So this is our midlife crisis episode.
Yeah.
We were going to have guest host Dan and guest host Nels, who were guest hosts on the program while Megan was in Europe, come back on the show and hang out with us and do another party episode. Unfortunately, you guys, that didn't happen.
We had to snooze bar that.
Snooze bar.
But it'll definitely happen soon, or maybe eventually.
Yes.
Hey, Maria.
What?
You did mention that 50 episodes is almost a year.
That's right.
Which leads to really exciting other news.
That's right. You guys are having a birthday party.
Did you guys get me a present?
For our birthday?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes. Totally did. Totally did.
Yes.
Really did.
Yes.
What we're doing is we're going to throw a birthday party bash.
Woohoo!
At our favorite local game store, Mead Hall.
In Minneapolis, Minnesota.
In the United States.
In Earth.
In the Milky Way.
In Universe Number One.
Yay!
You know, I don't know if the aliens label
us
number
one.
That's
pretty arrogant.
But I do. I do.
Yeah, we label
us. So if you want to come and party with us, that's going to be Saturday, January 4th. We're going to do a triple Return to Ravnica draft.
Because that's the first draft that we ever did.
That's right.
Except for me, but yep.
Okay. I'm sorry. Not Ben.
Not Ben.
That's how they learned.
Yep. And we're going to record a podcast live before a studio audience. So,
Just like the Cosby Show. I will
like
be wearing a sweater.
Good.
That's probably going to be true.
I'll make a lot of jokes about how I wish my kids would move out.
Come join us. We're going to post details about times and that sort of thing on themeadery.org, or if you're on Facebook, just like Mead Hall. We're going to do a triple RTR draft. We're going to record a live podcast. And there's going to be cake. So
it's going to be a rocking party.
Good,
it's going to be pretty great.
What more do you need? A clown? Scary.
Weird.
Coming up on this episode, though, we've got a For the Noobs from you. We have Dear Abby questions from listeners.
Yeah.
Some talk about draft. We've got a flavor text theater and some spoilers from Born of the Gods.
for the noobs, triggered versus activated abilities.
How do you know if your ability is triggered or active?
Does it have a trigger on it like a gun?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
If it's activated, does it have a key that you put into a key spot and turn?
A keyhole.
Oh, thanks. That word wasn't coming to mind.
Key spot.
Key spot.
Uh-huh. This is kind of a tricky thing, I remember.
Look, hey, Maria, what? I need you to water my plants this week.
Okay.
I'll put my key in the mailbox, and then when you find it, just find the key spot on my door.
I feel like you didn't need to tell me that last part. I would have just done that.
Well, just find the key spot on my door and put the key in it.
The key spot is notoriously hard to find.
Yeah, the key spot on my door is hidden.
But Ben, it does exist. Keep that in mind. This is a hard concept for new players. I remember being confused by this back in the day.
Yes. An ability is activated if you have to pay something to turn it on. It could,
like your water.
Yes, exactly, like
or
my
your
water.
That's an activated ability because I have to pay for it.
Of your house, it's an activated ability.
Every
of
month,
your house.
AKA you turn it on? Every turn.
And
solid. That's a solid analogy.
Thank you. Thank
so you could maybe pay for it with mana.
Uh-huh.
You can maybe pay for it in other ways, like discarding a card or sacking a creature. But an activated ability's cost is followed by a colon.
Some key punctuation right there.
That
the colon
is
very important, not only in the body, but on a magic card.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But don't try to use cranberries to improve the health of your magic cards.
It will not.
It will
help.
Not work.
No.
So, an activated ability, you have to pay something to turn on. And the cost is followed by a colon.
Mm.
That's how you know it's activated.
Mm. Is it because of the colon or just the paying? Or both?
It's a combination of both. I guess a card just could say colon and then a couple of sentences, which means that it's activated, but you don't have to pay anything. That would be really weird.
There are cards that have an activated cost of zero. Like it says zero and then
colon.
Do something. Like there's some card that's like zero, this creature gains flying. Zero, this creature loses flying.
What?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You can pay nothing to have it have flying or not have flying?
Yeah.
I'm going to tap no mana. This creature has flying now.
Yeah. They don't make a lot of cards like that anymore because it's confusing.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
But it is entirely, that is possible.
Oh, okay.
Nice. And then a triggered ability is something that on your card, like if something happens to the card, then therefore something else happens. That was a bad sentence.
Triggered abilities usually begin with the word if and then the condition. Or whenever, and then, you know, a condition or part of the game. So, like, for example, at the beginning of your upkeep.
Sure.
Yeah. So, for example.
And it's triggered by an external thing that has nothing to do with you sometimes?
It can be or it cannot be. Like, Abhorrent Overlord says, at the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice a creature. That's a trigger based on your upkeep happening.
But Abhorrent Overlord also says, whenever Abhorrent Overlord enters the battlefield, put X 1/1 harpy tokens into play, where X is the total devotion to black, where the devotion to black is like how many black skulls you have on the battlefield or something.
Uh-huh.
And so that, it triggers, that's something that you do control. Right, it's not just something you wait around for.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
If you put it on the table and then you don't put any harpies because you're waiting for them to just magically appear on their own, it's not going to happen. You need to put those harpies on the table, or else you
Unless
don't
you're
get them.
And Magic Online.
So why is
that's true?
Why is it important to know the difference between a triggered and an activated ability?
Well, because sometimes there are things that can keep you from using one or the other, like Viper's Kiss. And Theros says creature gets -1/-1 and its activated abilities cannot be activated.
Right.
But say someone puts that on your heroic creature and then you target that. So heroic is a triggered ability because it's when you cast a spell that targets that creature, then something happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's triggered. So if you heroic your guy, if you cast a spell that targets him, that heroic thing still happens because it's not
activated.
It's not.
And also, you're, by the way, if you're this is if you've probably never played Theros, but you casting stuff that will trigger, like, target your opponent's heroic creatures will not cause them to gain any counters.
Because it's when
whatever
you cast a spell that triggers your dude.
That's just a tip.
I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there.
I remember asking that question at the pre-release, so people probably have it sorted out by now, but just in case.
It's several months. It's several months.
You know, everyone's played a different amount.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, clarification. So activated ability is something that I need to, as a player, actively do. Like, it's not just going to happen.
You choose when to activate it. And the triggered abilities usually happen as a result of something else. Maybe you chose to do that trigger, but maybe not.
Yeah.
And then the trigger goes on the stack. And then
so evolves. Activated.
But in both cases, they go on the stack. Because the activated ability also goes on the stack.
But the trigger, it's just like, oh, the trigger occurred, so it goes on the stack.
Yeah. There's also static abilities, which are things like flying and island walk.
It's just there, man.
And trample. Those don't use a stack. They're just there.
They've just got it.
It's like parental love.
So keep in mind, if a card refers to a certain kind of ability, like an activated ability, don't just round up to all abilities, because it has a very specific meaning according to the rules. And you can get into some confusing situations. It's like if you drive up to the stoplight and you see a sign and it's like no right turns, and you're like, oh, I guess I can't turn here. You might be wrong.
If you were like, if the sign says no right turns, and therefore you turn off your car because you're like, I'm out of options. But in fact, you could have done several other things.
And then you get out of your car and you're like, well, shit, I guess I can only walk forward. And then you get hit by a bus.
No, that's it. That's good game. GG.
GG. GG, bus. GG.
Everybody, I have a 50th anniversary question for you guys.
Okay.
Oh, what is
we
it?
We still find you attractive.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Second follow-up.
First of all, not our 50th anniversary. Not even our first anniversary.
Oh, yeah. 50th episode. Wait. 50th episode.
I mean, it's like it's an anniversary. It's a 50th episode anniversary.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a milestone. It is a milestone for sure.
What does anniversary mean?
Year.
It means said that.
It means a year. It has to mean a year.
Fine. Yes.
I'll let you know that there's a book on that bookshelf bought for me by a boyfriend that says happy week anniversary, Maria.
Is there a dictionary on that shelf? Because we can look this shit up.
You know I don't believe in dictionaries, Ben.
Is this the Stone Age that you need a dictionary to look something up?
How long did that relationship last? Just out of curiosity.
1 week. Let's ask Siri.
Go for it.
Siri, what is the definition of anniversary?
The definition of anniversary is the date on which an event occurred in some previous year, or the celebration of it.
Huh.
Okay.
Yep.
That's a year.
Yep.
That did say year.
You notice when you say 1 week anniversary, how is that different than just saying anniversary?
I don't know.
Does anything come to mind?
That's true.
Honey, it's our anniversary. What kind of anniversary? Our 3 month anniversary?
So, okay, it's our epiversary.
Oh, that's pretty cute.
Oh, I like that.
That's cute.
I like that because it's a nonsense word that doesn't mean anything.
Nonsense. Everybody, my question for you, since it's our midlife
crisis
episode.
Our second quarter quell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you buy magic related if you had, like, if you're in your midlife crisis and you're like, I got to spend, let's buy something big, like a Corvette. What would you get magic wise?
Oh, like if I felt like
a modern deck. That's what you buy. That's what's big money, right?
Modern deck.
And do you try to impress people?
Or like vintage?
No.
No? Okay.
What do you
mean? Here's what I'd buy. Well, let's hear. I want to hear yours first.
I would buy a set of altered moxes.
Ooh, okay. All right, not bad.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow, you're really going for it.
I am. I posted on our Twitter feed at MTAcast, BTW, follow us, you'll be a cool kid, a link to one of the most, like, well-respected magic altar artists in the world.
I saw that.
Yeah, and it's some really great stuff. You can go check out our Twitter feed and look at some of his altars. They're really cool.
I think I would get some, like, a playset of the original Dual Lands.
Oh, that's probably good.
Or grab a hold of some Power 9.
Yeah, man.
You know
some
what I mean?
What?
Yeah.
Power 9.
What does that mean?
Noob moment!
Oh, wait, no, I know.
We've talked about this like a hundred times.
Have we? My brain was not operating.
It's cards like from at the moment. Like Time Walk.
Yes, the bonkers ones.
Black Lotus. Yeah.
It's Black Lotus, the Moxes, Time Walk, Ancestral Recall, and like, I don't know, fucking some other one that no one cares about.
Fucking some other one.
Do you guys play Duels of the Planeswalkers? Obviously, yes, you do. I'm asking our listeners rhetorically.
Listeners rhetorically, please, you don't have to answer, or feel free if you do, because it doesn't affect us, but you'll miss what comes next.
Please answer out loud. Yes.
Please.
Okay, so
it's important for your learning process that you answer our questions out loud. Does that make sense?
Yes.
No, not you.
Damn it.
Does that make sense? I didn't hear you. Thank you.
It's just like learning a language. You can't just put the language tape in and not respond. You're not going to get it.
No. All I was going to say is that when you get to Nicole Bolas, he has four of every Mox in his deck. No, he has four of the each of the Grixis Moxes.
Oh, you told me that.
And you're just like, he plays it and you're like, he's making like 8 mana on turn 3 and you're like, this is bonkers.
Which Duels of the Planeswalkers is that?
This is still 2013 because I'm poor. No, 2012.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get as far in that game as I got in the new one. The new one I beat in like a day.
I'm still playing Duels of the Planeswalkers 1998.
That is not a real thing.
You guys, I don't know what I would get. This question is really stumping me.
You said a modern deck.
I know, but I wasn't thinking big enough, I think. You guys are obviously thinking very big.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Would you buy a convertible made out of magic cards?
A convertible?
Nice.
Doesn't seem very practical.
Can I buy? Hold up.
Especially if it rains.
I would buy. Oh, jeez, you guys, this one's really getting me. We're gonna have to come back to me,
Megan. This is your life.
Would you buy a mana pool?
You just jump into a bunch of lands in your backyard.
You just jump into lands. Is it one of those like inflatable pools?
No, it's a pool in the shape of a like a blue mana symbol or whatever.
A raindrop,
hilarious.
Yeah, or if you don't want to be biased, just in the shape of a one colorless mana symbol.
A circle with a giant concrete like one in the middle of it,
or maybe an X.
I would say like I would love to have like a full deck of like all of the tier one standard decks. But that's so short term, because then they rotate out.
You want a deck that is composed of other decks?
No. Yes, I would like one deck that's all of them.
Oh my god, oh my god.
That's all of them.
We have to
shuffle them all together.
We have to play meta standard, where you build a deck.
That's all of the tier one cards right now.
No, you build a deck that consists of 60 decks, and each you can only have 4 copies of each deck, except for basic decks.
What is a basic deck?
A basic deck would be only lands? I don't know.
Oh my god. I would get one of each of the current tier one standard decks with Zendikar lands and all of them.
Zendikar lands.
Oh, should I ship this hand back? It's got 3 mono blue decks.
What is your hand? Oh,
okay,
size?
So wait, do you draw you then draw a hand of 7. You draw 7.
7 decks.
No, you draw 7 times. You draw 49 cards.
No. I think you draw 7 decks.
Because you have 60 decks.
You draw 7 decks.
Yeah.
Draw 7 decks.
You can't. You only have 6 decks.
No, you start with 60 decks.
Oh my god, so you draw 7 decks.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can mulligan down.
But you mulligan by 1 deck each time, right?
That's actually what would you play, you know, if you honestly had 7 decks? So you're going to have like everything you could ever possibly want. But, like, what direction do you go?
I think each deck would have to have, like, a casting cost. And then you have to cast the deck using the basic decks.
Oh my god. You guys, I think all that you're talking about is a regular standard metagame, but you're making it way more complicated.
No, I think we're onto something here. I think we're onto something here.
Okay.
Listener, what would you buy with your midlife crisis magic money? Tweet it at us at MTAcast. We'd love to hear.
Although, let's be honest, more realistically, it's going to be your magic midlife crisis total lack of money because you've spent it all playing magic.
Good point.
Mm. Oh, I'd buy a magic butler.
What?
Just like a guy
to clean up
that knows how to sort my cards.
Yeah. Yes.
And can like keep track of how many packs I have and, you know.
Yeah. That's nice.
That's like an investment. That's a solid investment.
Yeah, yeah,
Ben.
Yeah. And like say you need to borrow a card, he'll like bring it over.
Yeah, he's gotta go fetch
it. And he'll like keep track.
So do you have him like clean the rest of your house?
Or oh, no, no, no. I would not ask him to do that.
Does he live in
He's
your servant's quarters?
He's a magic butler, Maria. He doesn't buttle normal things.
Is buttle a word?
Yes.
I know rebuttle is a word.
Buttle is what butlers do.
Let's ask Siri.
Siri, what does buttle mean?
Hold on.
Did you mean 1 week buttle?
Siri, what is the definition of buttle?
Looking. My web search turned this up.
Oh, she spelled it B-U-D-D-E-L-L. I thought for sure she was going to search butthole.
Yeah.
Drafting fun times.
Yeah.
Kazoo-zoo-zoo-zoo.
So, Maria, did you do any fun drafts this week?
I sure did.
Or did you sit alone at home? Crying and shivering.
I did both of those things.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not related.
They're not related. No, okay. No, no. Okay. Megan, did you?
Tell us about the first one.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about the first one.
I did a blue-white draft of Theros. And I, because my first, this was bold. I felt like this was bold, even when it happened.
Yeah.
Pack one, pick one, I opened Metami the Ageless. Which is like, yes, it is a gold card, and it's going to put you into two colors. But one, I like blue a lot, and I think white is fine. Mm-hmm. And two, that is just straight up a card that if you play it, you win. Like they get to kill it that turn, or you win on the following turn, which is exactly what happened.
Question.
Yes.
Would you date a guy who was without age?
You mean like a vampire?
No, he's just ageless.
Is he a giant winged sphinx?
Yes.
Yes, then yes, I would.
Duh.
Yeah.
What if you just met a guy, he seemed pretty normal, and then you're like, oh, how old are you? He's like, I don't have an age.
So, like, what age does he look, I think, is the important question.
He's, like, 30.
Is he gonna die?
What age does he act?
He acts forever old.
And is he gonna die?
Like, it's a little intimidating how old he acts.
Okay.
But he looks, you know, like... just like 30. Yeah,
normal dude.
You know, it has creeped me out to no end, all these vampire movies where the vampires are like, I've been around for hundreds of years and I'm dating a 16-year-old.
Are you talking specifically right now about Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Or Twilight.
That's fair.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's weird.
They are both creepy.
Mm-hmm.
At 100, are you going to want to date a 16-year-old? My answer is no.
Although...
I'm 29 and I don't want to date a 16-year-old.
Good point.
Just FYI.
But you're not a timeless ancient one, so you don't really have that kind of perspective.
Exactly.
You know?
Am I not?
I mean, after you've dated everyone else, maybe you do want to date a 16-year-old.
Because at that point, you have just dated everybody else already.
Literally,
the other ages. Like, I went through all the ages and made a checklist.
You're like,
God.
The only thing left in my matrix is 16.
And it's 16.
Creepy.
Also super illegal. I don't know if there's a court for this. Anyway.
I mean.
Yeah, I agree.
It's already, I mean, isn't being a vampire already a crime? Like,
yeah.
Maybe we should legalize that. Like, they're.
Oh, first they're worry about them being
they're
a vampire.
Persecuted.
Yeah.
That's true.
Totally they also eat people. So.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like the one kind of led to the other.
So, Megan, we were talking about magic before.
Yes, we were for a second. Metami the Ageless. Anyways, in the four games in which I played him down, one time my opponent did manage to kill him immediately. So it was like, oh, bummer. The other three times, they didn't kill him, and then I won the next turn. Because taking an extra turn is just insane.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
But you have to be careful with that card because it can be Lashed of the Whipped or Rage of Perforost.
He got Lashed of the Whipped. Yeah. He got Lash of the Whipped. Yeah, man. He got whipped.
Tough.
Yeah, which was rough. But other than that, and I felt like my deck really came along strongly around that. That was definitely my most expensive card at 6. Then there was a little bit of a fall off. I think most of my stuff was actually around 2.
You know what? Man. Love 2 drops in Theros.
It went really well with other flyers because it's like, oh, if I only have, like, I have this Wingsteed Rider, and sure, like, say he's like a 3/3 Wingsteed Rider because I targeted him once with something.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to
Triton
hit them.
Triton Tactics, probably. Yeah.
So on my first attack, I get to hit them with this 4/4 and this 3/3.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sure, Metamite can't attack, but I still have this awesome effing 3/3 in the air.
Question.
Yes,
Maria.
How do you deal with Triton Tactics? I know they're going to play it on me.
God.
They hold up that one blue. You're like, yeah. I know what you're doing. But like, how do you play around it?
You make them have it the one time and then it's gone.
You make them have it or you hope they don't have it. Or they're
bluffing.
If you can afford to, you just try to prevent being blown out by it by only tagging with a single dude or whatever. Yeah. But you got to pick one.
You just got to take it up the tailpipe.
Decide which way you are most likely to win.
If you feel like you're stable, you're not an aggro deck that's like really trying to get in damage right now, like you can see if you can wait it out. If you still feel like on the board you have the upper hand.
To follow you.
That's fair.
What are you talking about?
let's start with when you're not an aggro player.
Okay, so I played a lot of drafts recently, and I've pulled...
How many? 40?
I don't even know, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But something strange has been happening to me, and I probably shouldn't even talk about it. It's going to take my luck away. I have opened more Planeswalkers than ever in my life.
And let's be clear. It's usually when you and I are drafting in the same queue. On Magic Online that you open, like, bonkers rares.
I have only ever opened a Planeswalker in real life twice. Once was way back in Return to Ravnica, and then once was like a double Planeswalker. One was foil and one was normal in a pack that was totally nut bones.
Yeah.
I like lost it at the table when I opened that pack. But online, I have pulled something like 8 Planeswalkers.
What? Who?
like 5 Elspeths.
Are you kidding?
No. And 2 Zanagos. Maybe even 3. It's insane.
That's
I don't
insane.
Know what's going on.
Plus some Stormbreath Dragons.
Yeah,
there are several times when
maybe
we
like 2 or 3 Stormbreath Dragons.
Do you think that there is a spark within you?
I'm just like, it's getting to the point where I'm like, is there a problem with Magic Online?
Is there a spark?
The shuffler? You think the shuffler's rigged?
The shuffler's rigged my favor.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's probably just really weird coincidence, but. Like
you do have bonkers rare opening powers.
I mean, like it is just weird.
Accept the gift, Maria. Don't question it.
Okay.
When you question
I'm sure
it,
you'll
trouble
go.
Follows.
I'm sure you'll go through a drought.
Yeah.
Sooner or later.
Oh no.
You're gonna open like 8 psychic intrusions in a row.
That's gonna be the price, you guys. Yeah. Anyway.
And it'll be all in the same draft. You'll open psychic intrusion, psychic intrusion, psychic intrusion.
And I'll be like, the time has come. My joyride's over.
Nah.
Joyride's over. You guys, we had a listener email.
What?
Yeah.
That was nice of them.
You would, Megan, tell them about our Dear Abby plot.
So, you guys, this is our new Dear Abby segment. Where you email us or tweet us questions, mm-hmm. and then we answer them. Sort of like a famous columnist.
Who will remain nameless, but is named Abby.
She's named Abby.
Abigail von Straussen.
If you would like to email us your questions, you can email them to magicthamaturing@gmail.com. Bonus points if you actually put Dear Abby at the top of your email.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, if you can constrain your characters, tweet them to us at MTAcast.
I wouldn't recommend straining your characters too much.
Constraining.
You might blow something.
Constraining.
Constraining. Here we have a letter. From Wants to Be a Hero But Too Fat for Spandex.
Nice.
It actually says too far for spandex.
Yeah.
But I'm going to assume that.
No, like, he wants to be a hero, but it's really long way to the costume shop.
Yeah. He doesn't know where to purchase spandex, but he assumes it's far away.
Okay. We have a two-part question from Wants to be a Hero.
Yeah.
Part one. In Norway, it's called Kesem, and in the UK, it's called Quark. What is a strange dairy product called in the U.S. of A?
Is he talking about yogurt?
I have no idea.
He's talking about yogurt.
I'm pretty sure he's talking about yogurt.
It's called yogurt.
I think it's yogurt. I'm like 95%.
Are those brand names, though?
Also referred to as Go-Gurt.
Yes. Don't buy Go-Gurt. Don't. It'll be a really disappointing experience.
I'm driving. I need some yogurt.
No, just wait. Just wait until you're out of the car.
So wait. In Norway, they call it Kesem?
Yeah.
Is that a brand name?
I mean, in Norway, they have another language, so.
Yes.
Oh, that's the problem. Yes. No British person says, I'm going to go pick up Quark at the grocery store and means just yogurt. They mean that brand.
They're talking about drugs.
Okay. Part two of the question. This is going to be rapid fire. Everyone give your opinion. What color cards would the following superheroes be?
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Blue.
Batman.
White.
Black.
Catwoman.
Black.
Black.
Iron Man.
Blue.
Red.
Wonder Woman.
Green.
Red.
White. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. I'm going to switch and go white.
I'm torn on that one. The Invisible Girl.
Blue.
White.
Colorless. Get it?
Nice.
You jerk.
Aquaman.
Blue.
Spider-Woman. In parentheses, Jessica Drew.
Oh, shit.
Green.
Black.
Oh, is she evil?
No.
No. I don't know anything about Spider-Woman. I'm going to abstain.
I mostly went green just because we don't really have a lot of greens yet.
Yeah. And Kick-Ass.
Ah.
Red.
Red.
Purple. That's the answer is Wants to be a Hero but Too Fat for Spandex. Thanks for writing in.
Yep.
If you would like your questions answered with such pomp and circumstance, email or tweet them.
MagicTheAmaturing@gmail.com. Flavor Text Theater presents Movie Pitches.
Oh, man. We have this shiny new pack of Theros here. Maria, are you a movie exec this week?
No.
Okay.
Ben has been it and I've been it, so...
I thought I was last time.
Negative.
Okay.
Negative ghostwriter.
We're going to open a pack of Theros here, and Megan is going to be the movie executive. She's going to hear movie pitches from Ben and I. We have not seen these cards. We're just going to pick
really
one.
I really think I was the executive last time.
No, I swear you weren't. I swear. We're going to pick one of these cards at random. I'm not looking at it. And then I'm going to have to picture a movie or a TV show based on this card.
All right. Let me hear them, guys. Welcome into my fancy office. You can see the L.A. and the New York skylines from the windows.
First of all, I want to tell you, darling, you look amazing.
Oh, thank you. You shouldn't have.
Well,
but go on.
Don't say that or maybe I won't.
So let's hear it, Constantine.
All right. This is a story about a woman. She's illustrious. She likes all of her friends. She gets along with them. But what she really needs is a good suntan. She wants to get bronzed, you know?
Yeah.
And so she goes out to the beach, but there are so many large creatures around that she just tries to vanquish them away, you know?
Oh, I totally get it.
So that she can receive her suntan.
Okay, I'm a little worried about your pitch for Vanquish the Fowl.
No, that's not what it is.
Oh,
sounded like it.
What do you have, little lady?
Sure, I've got a great idea for a movie. So there's this guy. He doesn't appreciate, like, the life that he has, his family, his kids. So he decides to chuck it all, midlife crisis, and go out on a boat, a fishing boat. He goes into the ocean to catch crabs with a team of dudes. He goes out there. He's bitter and angry at his midlife, boring life. He's catching a crab, but all of a sudden it sucks him into the ocean. It grabs him. He's pulled down into a coral reef. And he thinks he's going to die, but miraculously he's pushed back up out of the water and onto his boat. But he's no longer a man. He's now the human form of the sea. And now he has to live with the choice that he's made. Can his wife love in aqueous form?
Well, listen, maybe this movie is great and maybe it works in some countries, but how about, have you thought about this? How about a movie? We got one of these movies where, you know, a man falls, he's a normal teenage man and falls hopelessly in love with an ageless vampire, you know. And,
typical.
They get married, and, you know, there's passion, sure, but eventually as the years go on, you know, he's old and unable to support her, and so she just drinks from his veins daily, and then it started to get a real drag, so he asked for a divorce. It's called Blood Toll Harpy.
Nice.
Very
nice.
Very good.
I'm not inspired by that car. I just drew.
All right.
Oh, this show I'm going to pitch you is like a real hippy-dippy show.
Uh-huh.
I want it to have like 70s movie filters. I want it to be shot on film.
Uh-huh.
It's basically on Skinamax late at night.
Uh-huh.
So it's like softcore.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of girls out in the woods dancing around wearing nothing but tree branches and sticks.
Oh.
And they probably do it. It's called Nylea's Presence.
Nice.
Oh.
I think that we definitely have a place somewhere on late night television.
Thank you.
I've got another idea for you. It's not a big budget film, but it's a TV series, cooking show. But instead of being for humans, it's for horses. It's called Time to Feed.
100%. That shows that we will buy that show from you.
My show is about a bunch of cops who are trying to catch a serial killer.
Mm.
But they're not human cops. They're cow cops. So they're working in a barn trying to catch Minotaur Skull Cleaver. So it's like CSI meets a show about cows.
Okay.
All right. How about this? It's a medical drama combined with The Lion King. It's called Breaching Hippocamp.
Oh God! Wait, that should be a camp. That's a camp for like upcoming zoo veterinarians.
Gross.
Well, you don't want to pitch me Nemesis of Mortals?
Well, we talked about that. We kind of did a flavor text with that.
Okay.
Do we have any more good ones? This just makes me think of more naked ladies. Nimbus Naya. That's not going to work.
Listen, I really think you should reconsider maybe another film with the same character. Yeah? How about a woman?
Uh-huh. I get it.
A woman.
Uh-huh.
She decides to join the army.
Is it Elspeth? Are you pitching me the show?
Well, Elspeth Sun's champion.
Maria, this is your effing pack. What is this?
Literally, just after I said I keep ripping Elspeth's.
There she is.
This is so weird.
Ridiculous.
Oh my God, the odds of this happening are not possible.
Don't you piss on my brain. Logic man.
This is ridiculous.
That is so fucking weird.
Let's look real quick at this pack that we opened and talk about what we would maybe have.
What we would pick?
What could we pick out of here?
Well, okay. Obviously.
I'm going to pick the card with the weird border.
Beyond the Planeswalker.
Beyond Elspeth.
Let's just order the.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm slamming the walker.
Okay. So, obviously.
We've got, just list them out. Disciple of Phoenix.
Fairies Band Centaurs, Glare of Heresy, Blood Toll Harpy, Time to Feed, Breaching Hippocamp, Nylea's Presence, Aqueous Form, and Wave Crash Triton.
Yeah.
Insatiable Harpy, Nimbus Naiad, Minotaur Skull Cleaver, Nemesis of Mortals, and Elspeth.
So obviously we're taking
and
the Speth.
A mountain.
Yes, and a mountain.
But say Speth's not in there, and a rare yes. just sucks nuts. So what would you take? BG.
I'm going Naiad. Nimbus Naiad.
Man.
This is actually tough.
It is kind of.
For me, it would come down to the Naiad or the Nemesis of Mortals. I do really love playing the green deck with like a lot of like commune with the gods.
I never done that. I'm too scared to do that.
Especially if it's like a green black deck and you just fill up your graveyard and then
yeah.
That card can just be so flipping sweet when you pay like 4 mana for a 5/5. You're like, here it is.
You guys, I think I'm taking the Harpy.
The Insatiable Harpy.
It is a good card.
It is a good card. I'll agree with that.
As you know, I think it's gone up in my estimation. I initially didn't think it was as good as it is.
Yeah.
But life gain in Theros is the real deal.
Especially if you could bestow on that sucker.
Yeah, and if you bestow on that Harpy, man.
Yeah. I have to say, I really like the Insatiable Harpy, but for some reason, every time I see one in a pack, even if it's in my colors, there's always just some card that I like want more.
Like?
Gray Merchant.
Gary.
You know, see, I think they're all good, but for me,
yeah,
the Nimbus Naiad just does so many things. It's a 3-drop, it's a 5-drop. It
makes other shit fly.
It only has a single mana symbol. It goes good in heroic decks, it goes good in normal decks.
You're probably right, Ben, actually.
Well, you don't have to tell me that.
Yeah.
You're also right about that.
But I think they're all reasonable.
Yeah, totally. Maria, this is ridiculous.
That Elspeth, God. She's trying to tell me something, I think.
She is. I'm trapped. Don't know what it is
exactly. Help me. But I have to become a planeswalker, you guys. And
or you need
rescue
to enlist in the army.
You know what would be sweet? A movie about Elspeth. I think that would be pretty good.
Yeah. What would it be like? What's her deal in the movie?
She is a planeswalker. Travels between planes.
So she's just going between all sorts of planes fighting shit?
Yeah.
She came to Theros to try to find meaning from her life.
And instead she had to fight everybody, right? She didn't want to.
Instead, like, isn't there, there's someone evil. There's like...
Xenagos?
Is he evil?
He looked pretty evil in that picture.
You guys, he's a reveler. He's just a party dude.
Yeah, but he doesn't really care how the party ends for everyone else.
It could end with everyone dying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Totally.
It could be a Xenagos party where everyone dies.
We saw some art from Born of the Gods, which is the next set coming up, and there's a big evil-looking Xenagos in one of those arts.
Or an evil
and also,
something.
Another planeswalker, Ajani, is in that same art. And a
right.
listener
Someone
pointed out that Ajani was in there and we didn't see him.
Show me the evidence. I remain skeptical at all points.
Ben will find the picture and show it to
He's definitely in the picture.
Oh, I see him now.
So that means that White's going to have two planeswalkers, allegedly. Jeez.
Well.
Whoa.
Last time we saw Ajani.
Was not too long ago.
Oh, actually, Ajani has... There's an Ajani card that was white and red as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ajani was an M14. Would they really print him in Theros?
I don't know what the heck he's doing in that picture.
Maybe he's just...
I mean, they printed Jason...
That's true.
In RTR. And
but
then...
that's Jace. He's special.
Is he?
Ajani is also one of the... Yeah. He's one of the Lorwyn 5.
What are the Lorwyn 5?
What is that?
Well, the Lorwyn 5 are the original 5 planeswalkers that first appeared in Lorwyn.
Lorwyn was the first time there's ever planeswalkers?
Yeah. Jace, Chandra, Ajani, Garrick, and Liliana.
Oh. A lot of people have been
saying... Two dudes, a chick, 2 chicks, and a lion man.
Seems about right.
Yeah.
have been like asking Mark Rosewater, who designs for Wizards, hey, when are we going to see planeswalkers in these colors versus these colors?
Yeah.
Because we've gotten a lot of similar stuff. So we have
Where's
Xenagos.
Where's my Simic planeswalker?
Exactly. We have Xenagos. We have Domri Raid, which are both red-green. And if, you know, we're going to have a glut of white planeswalkers, where's Mr. Simic? Where's Mrs. Celestia? Where's Monsieur Boros? Where's my red and black home dog?
Keep going.
Where's...
And?
Where's... did I get them all?
Where's my Azorius bitch?
Is there a point you were going to make?
My point was that Mark Rosewater says, all in good time, each color combo will have its own planeswalker, but he says all in good time.
Right. Oh, I mean, eventually. Like,
yeah. One day.
I would assume that.
15 years from now. That will be a thing.
He covers his bases.
Hey, speaking of Born of the Gods.
Yeah.
What? There were some spoilers.
That's right. Our first spoilers from Born of the Gods have been released, everybody.
Oh my God. Are you so excited?
Yes.
I am so excited.
We got to see what these new cards are and figure out.
Yeah. Like, what's going on? What's going on in this?
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
We've got Temple of Enlightenment.
Whoa. What does it do?
You enters tapped, and you can scry one. Tap a dad blue or white to your mana pool.
Oh my god.
Oh, snap!
Shit. All right.
Oh, God. Okay, wait. Let's listen to all of them and see if there's a common theme, and then we can talk about how we're going to use them.
Okay.
What's new about them?
All right. Temple of Malice.
Uh-huh.
Scry one. Comes in tapped. Add black or red.
Oh, snap.
Temple of Plenty. Comes in tapped. Scry one. Tap it for green or white.
Oh, whoa, dudes.
Oh, my God. This really opens up
the gates, the standard meta
game quite a bit.
It's going to change everything. Questions.
Yeah. All right.
That are
going
to need to be answered.
Yeah.
Megan.
Yeah.
Top five uses for a Temple of Enlightenment.
Go.
Oh, man. Okay. I think that first, I would probably use it to produce mana.
Okay. Yeah. So blue mana?
I would say first I'm going to use it to produce blue mana. Okay, and then I'm going to use it to produce white mana.
Good.
Number two, white mana.
Is white mana. Third, I'm going to use it to count as one of the lands in my deck.
Yes.
Okay, yep.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Good.
I'm going to, maybe three would actually be, I'm going to use it to scry one.
Okay, so three scry, four land count.
Four is land count.
Yep. Yeah.
And five, I'm just going to appreciate its utility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. As a land.
That's
cool.
What I'm going to do. Perfect. Yeah.
Temple of Enlightenment.
Next up, Temple of Malice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Temple of Malice. So let's see. What's the deal with this one?
Red or black?
Red or black. All right.
Yeah.
So what are the uses for this?
Ben, what are you going to use Temple of Malice for?
I'm going to use it for when I don't want to show off that I have untapped land.
Yes.
Right. You don't want to be a douche. Humble.
When I want to be... And okay, number two, I'm going to use this... when I really, really want to make sure that I'm able to cast a Rakdos Cackler.
Yes. Oh,
God. Yeah, yeah, yep.
Except not
on the following turn.
Not on the first turn.
Third,
Go ahead.
I'm going to use this to scry another one of these to the bottom of my deck. So that way I don't draw
two. You don't
two.
Want to.
Yes. Yeah, I don't
want
to draw two.
Smart.
Fourth, I'm going to trade a foil one of these.
Uh-huh.
For two non-foils.
Oh, yes. Good. Great.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Great.
Yes. Okay.
You guys are really figuring this out.
And fifth, I'm going to draft this without looking at the rest of the pack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Temple of Malice.
Temple of Malice.
Oh, what's the third one?
The third one is Temple of Plenty.
Maria, when are you going to use Temple of Plenty?
My five top uses for Temple of Plenty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Number one.
Yeah.
A euphemism for vagina or penis.
Okay.
Yep.
Temple. Either euphemism, genitalia,
either way.
Euphemism.
Yeah. Either way.
Nice.
I'm going to use it to impress a librarian that I'm playing the colors green and white.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
I feel like that would impress a librarian.
Librarians are way into green and white.
Celestia.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it and then regret that I'm playing green and white.
Yep, sure. Yep, yep. Okay, yep.
Immediately.
Second guess yourself.
Yeah. Second guess yourself.
What am I doing? What am I doing?
Yeah.
Okay, number four. I'm going to probably use it for toilet paper at some point when I get real poor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
keep going. You can do this.
Again. Number five.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to use it.
You're going to put
like,
it,
if
put
I,
a full-size art of it on your wall?
No. If I ever, oh yeah, it would fit in my decor in here.
It really would.
If I ever get real sick and I feel like I need to puke, but I can't get it up. The puke that is, I'm going to stick this card halfway down my throat to throw up that meal.
Nice.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Cool. And how do you, sweet.
Oh, wait, I thought of another one for mine.
Okay.
I'm going to draft it when I open it in pack three and I'm like, this deck is already really shit. I should at least get a couple of bucks out of it. I'm gonna draft.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yep,
perfect.
Great. So you guys.
Okay. So that's
it. Spoiler season.
It's crazy.
Probably about 12 more uses for these cards than any other podcast has given you.
Yeah. So you're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah. In all seriousness, spoiler season is going to be happening soon for Born of the Gods, and it is one of my favorite times of the year. Get the spoiler spirit. You know what I mean?
It's like Christmas every day.
Yeah, it is every day. Nearing when it comes out, you'll get some spoilers released.
Mm-hmm.
And they're real fun to look at work when your boss is not looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if they are, they probably don't know what the fuck you're doing anyway. So go ahead.
Yeah. Mine doesn't, but I'm self-employed.
Yeah, so that would be that.
So you don't know what you're doing?
Not half the time, sister.
All right.
Not knowing what you're doing. There we are. Another episode.
Another one in the tanks, down the tubes, and up the drain. Thanks for listening around with us.
50 episodes, you guys.
That's, 50th epiversary.
That is a lot of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That's more than one.
More than one, less than MASH.
And an epiversary is also the anniversary of a day when an EpiPen saved your life.
Yeah.
True. Good point. This reminds me, like, this, we're sitting at my house recording, which is where we recorded our first episode around this very table.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it went something like this. Hey, do you guys know what we should do?
What, Megan?
We should make a magic podcast.
What?
Yeah. You want to sit down and record one right now?
Okay, sure.
All right, let's do it.
That was how it happened.
That is how it happened.
We'll tell you more of those stories from the early years on episode 52, which will be our official.
If that went your whistle, get ready for a full-on blow.
Of that, episode 52 will be our one-year anniversary episode, so we're going to do some special stuff for that. But as I said again, we'll be recording episode 54 at our birthday party, which is going to be Saturday, the 4th, Mead Hall, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Come up and draft triple RTR with us, which was a great draft, FYI.
Yeah.
55403, probably somewhere around that zip code.
And have some cake and come be a member of our audience. Maybe we'll interview you live on the show.
Yeah.
If for our 52nd episode, if you have any favorite moments of MTA cast from over our almost a year, go ahead and email us or tweet at us, whatever your little favorite segment or bit
we'll
or
put them up
thing
on
that
our wall
was.
Of self-congratulations.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we'll do with them. I was thinking that we would revisit them in a nice, fun, nostalgic way. But you can be a dick about it if you want, then.
Hey, send us your favorite when Ben was a dick moments. MagicTheAmaturing@gmail.com.
We're sure you'll have lots of those.
You can also go to our website, MagicTheAmaturing.com, and send us an email through there. Or friend us on themeatery.org.
You guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all she wrote.
That's our show.
Oh, yeah. We made it. Jesus Christ.
Elspeth.
Barely. I mean, we're 50. Getting those stairs. Those stairs was rough.
See you guys for episode 51. Peace out.
Peace out, homies.